Instructions of life, toward chesed, instructions of kindness, toward rachamim, instructions of mercies. This is the 103rd class of soul class. Soul being an acronym for S70, oldest, original, U, universal, L, laws, the seven Noahad commandments, Sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach. And let's go tersely into them, and before we do even do that, let's give kudos to the opening song of our show that was performed by Leviathan, that's L-E-V-Y-A-T-A-N. The song was called Woven by Moshe Levy and his band Leviathan, which you can learn about and see on YouTube. So let's go into those seven Noahide commandments now. Number one, universal commands of the Mibi, understood according to the eternal Torah teachings of the five, from the five books of Moses and the oral Torah tradition of Israel. Number one, Dennis Ryan, our activist, advocate, teacher, and student of the Gadol text of Rambam Maimonides, and all the way from Oroville, the village of light, Mordechai Sontag. Gentlemen, good evening, Dennis and Mordechai, Mordechai and Dennis. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Fine. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you. Mordechai, all the way from Oroville, California. Hey!
Hey, how are you guys? Hi, Dennis. Hi, Don.
Hello.
The light of the moon reflecting off a body of water. Or, say, the sun coming up on the horizon and not in its full bloom when we see it in the middle or the apex of the sky. So I'd like to go to Dennis and then Mordechai talking about this idea that, you know, we're trying to share ideas to empower other people to realize on a personal day-to-day basis, how they can implement what we've been...
With this example of people or leaders showing us the way, we use our intellect, and we should be able to come up with something that's valuable, that we can be proud of, and lead us toward God.
Amen. Mordechai, your thoughts on this issue and how, you know, we're here to try to encourage people to experience the empowerment of the human intellect. And, you know, of course, you know, human intellect does have its limitations. That's why we're turning to towards
thing. And what I could add to the subject and to the conversation is definitely by studying and observing Torah or developing a certain type of system where we can follow the divine guidance does not make us to be these divine. It doesn't make us perfectly divine, although we have the divine image within us, within each of us, which can be cultivated by following certain guidelines, which the Torah or the 613 is giving us. So I can only say that in everybody there is, as we have been studying, you know, you can study one of them, but is willing to push away the evil thoughts or the evil inclination which arises in each and every one of us every day. The evil inclination is something that is deriving from our animal soul, from our animal instinct, from our animal being, which has been followed us throughout the centuries. As human beings, we are having so many issues within our society. Before these animalistic instincts would come in, or these unrighteous evil inclinations would come into his life or come into his consciousness, it would not even approach him because the divine image within him is so strong and so connected to Hashem, to the Most High, that he won't have the problem of these thoughts. So that's what I would like.
Finds the fabric of proper human relations and ultimately, too, his relations with God. The righteous are totally, so to speak, egoless, because they, to them, to have their own ego, to, meaning to engage and put speech and action to the extent of undermining their community, meaning their own personal interactions with other people, and even for larger groups of people, because generally the righteous are those who lead large groups of people. And of course, their relations with the Almighty are, you know, on key. They're configured right to the Most High's will. Now, the intermediary, known as the Beinoni, is basically the type of human being who acknowledges there's a struggle between the ego and the needs of the community. And sometimes he or she goes in the right, and sometimes they go into the negativity. However, they have, so to speak, a self-corrective mechanism that they are willing to activate by recalling for themselves or seeking advice from those wiser than them or more learned than them. Or more
that we have to use as tools to help us move along. One of those is to read books or do some research by people who have spent a long time on the planet setting up different procedures, methodologies, and understanding so that you can get to heaven at some time.
Beautiful. Dennis, I just want to interject one thing before you go into the God Perplexed, that people should not feel intimidated by the idea that to develop
that. So there's nothing that is a surprise here. It's about stuff that's been around for centuries and centuries. And it's a scholarly effort. Let's put it that way.
Beautiful. So take it away, sir.
Okay. So we start off here at the very last page of the book, and there's only 177 pages in the book. It's part 3, chapter 11 of the Guide to the Perplexed. Enmity and hatred are removed from the inflicting of harming by people on one another is abolished. It holds out this promise, saying, and from here we're he quotes from Isaiah, and the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and so on. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and so on. And the suckling child shall play, and so on. See. And he ends it with his signature of, know this.
Beautiful. Mordechai, would you like to give any feedback on what you just heard read by Dennis? Mordechai? Mordechai?
Yes, I've read these chapters. I've read these chapters from Isaiah before. And, as a positive thing, that when evil will be derived from man throughout his own actions, hopefully, then these things will happen. And hopefully, this will come at the times of Moshiach. Hopefully, it will be Moshiach that will help us the most in bringing these events.
In fact, you can see it even at the United Nations, where it talks about turning, you know, the swords into plowshares. Yet, unfortunately, the United Nations for many years has stood quiet while people have slaughtered people, and then pointed the fingers at other nations, saying, "Well, they're the cause of the problems in the world." So, you know, but yet they have such a prophecy printed on one of the walls at the United Nations, and they will turn their swords to plowshares. Well, it seemed to me that they haven't really tried to implement that, you know, through what hope energy matters, and matter has energy. And how do you explain the interaction between, as we would understand it, to be an invisible God, one who cannot, you cannot taste, touch, feel, or see, and a creation which certainly you can taste, touch, see, and feel. But with that being said, gentlemen and blessed souls listening in, I want to go into an attribute of one of the 48 attributes of the acquiring of the Torah. And this attribute is called Be'erech Hapayim, meaning being. Sometimes anger flares up because someone, sometimes one can feel, well, why wasn't I told this before? Why didn't my parents tell me? Why didn't my relatives tell me? Why didn't my community tell me? Why isn't this talked on television? Well, Rabbi Nachman, in another teaching, once taught that, you know, for people who didn't start out, we're talking about Jewish people in particular, who didn't start their lives out in yeshiva and yet and later in life come to the Torah, he said, don't get angry about it. Don't feel you've been cheated, because this was God's plan, that you shouldn't go to consciousness of having the patience and the faith to understand that we want to get to a level which is known as getting to, so to speak, a mindset or a consciousness which is associated with the land of Israel. What is the mindset which is associated with the land of Israel, which is known as the Holy Land, which everyone acknowledges it is, whether it be Jew, Christian, or Muslim, or Muslim, Christian, and Jew, or whatever the religions are, the faiths of the world?
This is the Rambam wrote this. Therefore, the sage who said, the above became angry at his student for not understanding the meaning and for taking the statement literally. Hence, he answered him according to the level of his perception. But this is not the correct answer. The proof that he did not give him the true explanation is the basis for his reply was in the verse from Proverbs. Do not answer the fool according to his folly.
Mordechai, any comments, questions, or concerns on this discussion?
This is very amazing what the Rambam just said on that on the fool and fall, its folly. And also, both of you guys are very amazing. And I fell out of this discussion a long time ago. And getting back to your level of intellect is kind of a challenge right now. But let's talk. And and now, what it is opening up those gates of limitations and look further, look behind, and find more joy and more happiness in these studies. So it's one of the basic principles of Judaism is joy. Now, when Dennis said that about the answer to fool according to his folly, do not answer the fool according to his folly, is also very interesting, because anger is physically proven that anger causes brain damage. Anger,
wow.
Stress, any kind of negative thoughts or anything like that causes brain damage. So somebody who is becoming angry or high in temper too easily, it damages those very precious connections within the brain. Instead of looking for a positive outlook or looking for a stability in thought, speech, and action. So it is basically all of these things connect together, what you guys are talking here. And I'm so happy to be back on this show right now at this moment.
We're happy to have you on. Listen, gentlemen, we're going to take a break because we're getting into some deep stuff here, which is beautiful, because deep is good. And we're going to take a little musical break. This is going to go, we're going to go back to the 1960s. Dennis, you probably remember this song. I've loved this song since I was a little boy. I grew up on this music, and I think that this is...
Thank you.
Mordechai, did you ever hear that song before? Mordechai? No, looks like we're in and out with Mordechai tonight.
Yeah, I'm here.
Anyway,
I'm here.
So, did you ever hear that song before?
Absolutely, so many times. I really loved it. I used to be a very a hippie loving guy when I was younger. I loved the hippies. You know, I thought they were the best peeps on earth. Now I changed my views.
Well, listen. You know, even I saw that the Rebbe himself, the Rabbi Trevi, addressed it, that they were requesting change, which is a healthy thing. The thing is that how it was going to change and what needed to be changed, in a sense, you know, I also, you know, what's going on in the world today right now with the protests and Occupy this and Occupy that and this spring and this summer and that, still, it's still lacking a certain element of, you know, yes, change needs to be made. We all realize that. 1,000%. Robert Rebbe talked about this going back to, which was talked about in last week's Torah portion. The problem with the generation of the flood is that they were, I mean, we should only have such a problem because this is one of the things that's plaguing mankind now, is the out and out bounty that was afforded to the human family, the human peoples of those time, and they expressed a lack of gratitude by engaging in stealing and murder and adulterous situations, which culminated ultimately with their lack of repentant language. And it was Lashon HaKodesh, the holy tongue, which we call Hebrew, not to say just exclusively in the hands of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, the Israeli people, but it was the original language. And sometimes we've had Brooke Cohen Hoffinger come on talking about this. There's a website, I think it's called Edenics.org, which can show that you know, the roots of all human language are rooted in the Lashon HaKodesh. But the problem is, it was a unity, but it was a wrong type of unity, also types of mediums of communication, because they themselves would probably look at us today and wonder, how come these people are so primitive that they have to communicate like this? Because probably back in those days where people had higher innate intellects because they were more connected to the earth, and there are teachings that there was a certain tribe that they could taste the earth and know what was needed to be planted in that part of the earth to produce the most bountiful type of produce for the needs of their people. So we have that. But on the other hand, too, you know, if we're going to share with people an idea of getting away from idolatry, we can turn to none other than, again, our great teacher, Rambam. And I think it's appropriate that I start to quote from his Mishneh Torah, this one basic teaching, that the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of wisdom is to know that there's a primary being, Dennis called him a supernatural being, I know that something else other than the Creator brought everything into being. Well, I would ask them to please stand up and give us a call or, you know, come forth with their argument why the creation is not coming from a true original primary being, because I can't think of any system design or designer that can figure out to make a whole solar system, a whole galaxy, a sun, a moon, and let's there are 300 million species of living creatures common than what we're talking about now. Excuse me.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to start with Don's his last couple of sentences about, you know, it's impossible that anything else would have created the earth and the universe and the stars and the whole nine yard that we have here. And it's totally true. I have a little bit of a, I have a short saying that I really like people to hear. It is it's a great one. Absolutely, and people, when people come together, it's a great thing, but naturally, you know, what I'm looking at is people should come together for joy. People should come together for happiness, for celebration, for protection, of course. But whenever in history people came, then people will naturally follow
their animal instincts in many many ways. When an argument is won by who's louder, it is not an argument. It is a yelling match. Having these big signs put up in the air, et cetera, it is not an argument. It is not an argument to occupy Wall Street or
entity or being or force in the creation. It's something which will ultimately bring people together, even though people don't agree on everything. I mean, Dennis, Mordechai, and I don't agree on everything. Generally speaking, we agree on much more than we disagree. That's why we come together to do this soul class. That peace has the way of reminding people it is the goal of the human race, the human family, because there's no word in Hebrew for race aside for to run, like, running. And unfortunately, we do sometimes, there are occasional flare-ups in the United States. People go ballistic. I mean, everyone remembers that horrible event of Columbine 13, 14 years ago. There was a shooting, in West Virginia or Virginia at a college university. But generally speaking, aside from individual acts which are to the detriment of one's own person and to society, generally speaking, America is a peaceful society. It's not a perfect society. Is definitely a society like any other human society, and I take commandments, it's going to have a success rate. On the other hand, we saw in World War II where the crimes against humanity committed from all sides, you know, this led to a Holocaust, and Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't pull his punches. He said that if the nations of the world had kept those seven Noahide commandments, there wouldn't have been a Holocaust. Because part of the seven Noahide commandments included embedded
person in the first century called Philo of Alexander. And his quote that he used in everything he wrote was that everything is possible with the Lord.
Plain and simple and bullseye. Mordechai. Any feedback?
Yes. Everything is possible. It is possible that everything is possible. Don, to turn back to what you were talking about, we agree and disagree on many things, and people will also agree and disagree. And yes, we are in the United States. We are a peaceful nation, and we are a peaceful society. And this is one of the reasons given to Moses. But most Christians do follow that Ten Commandments. So, and the Ten Commandments is pretty close to almost matching with the seven Noahide commandments. So this is one of the reasons why we have this peace here. But also to come together, you know, do this, do that, use this, use that, use this explanation to, you know, basically kill a whole tribe of Indians or whatever, or put people under the Inquisition, then it does not work. So as you say it, it is the best to keep the seven Noahide laws, because they are simple, they are understandable, and that from that moment on, it is a possibility.
But now that the Torah goes on to say in Genesis the following verse: these are the products of the heaven and the earth when they were created on the day that Hashem, God, the Most High, made heaven and earth. Now, again, when we look at this translation, and I'm looking at it also in the Hebrew, the word products, I don't necessarily like, maybe there's another translation, but the one I look at the word toldot, it means generations.
Don,